That is not your job. Well, I guess that was the ask.
All right, let's call the meeting to order. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, before we get right into this, I kind of want to remind everybody on the board that we want to stay on topic. Please stay on topic for what we have on the agenda. And now, this is for public comment. If anyone feels they would like to comment on the on this agenda, do you want to make a comment about it? Anyone want to make a comment?
Well, if you're planning to stay for the meeting, then you can comment at the time when the item comes up, whatever you want to talk about.
Okay. No comment? Okay. Let's go down to approval of the minutes for May 14th. Do I have a motion?
I motion that we approve the minutes for May 14th.
Do I have all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Approval for the agenda for June 11th today. Do I have a motion?
I move that we approve the agenda for June 11th.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Receive report from the Sandy Valley Fire Department.
Ken Smith, Sandy Valley Volunteer Fire Department. For the month of May, we ended up with one fire, 15 medical runs, one motor vehicle accident, and a flight. Getting someone out of here. As far as upcoming events with the community, I don't have anything on my list as of just yet. But if anyone's got any questions for me.
What about the fireworks? You found out anything yet?
I didn't want to touch that one. I don't want to give them any ideas yet.
Okay.
I have not heard anything, so I don't know. Last year, in years past, we never condoned fireworks, we always kept the trucks handy at the park. If there was a problem, then we were there. We encouraged everyone to bring it to the park, everyone else's enjoyment, but give some sort of sense of safety to it. This last year, the county commission decided that no way, no how, anything that was unsafe and insane was not going to be allowed or permitted. And so rather than being able to set up a safe zone to try and do all this in the ball field like we have in all the years past, we ended up with everyone doing their own display across the valley. We ended up with multiple fire calls, not just in this community, but in other communities throughout Vegas, things like that. When the commission was out last, I kind of mentioned this to them and asked them to, you know, maybe take a look at this, kind of, you know, let us at least have some kind of control over this, but we don't know. We haven't heard anything, so I don't know what this year's going to bring.
More fire calls.
Speaking of fire calls.
Yes, ma'am.
Quite a few lately. So what is the rules for burning again?
Burning rules, what we prefer. In years past, you had to contact air quality control. Air quality control let this come back to us once they decided that they didn't want to get involved with it. What we're asking for is daylight hours only. Someone has to be in attendance. There has to be water handy. You have to have a green zone around whatever you're burning. Don't be burning it up against the house, the fence, other burnable materials, anything like that. Vegetation only. So I'm not going to complain if I walk up and I see a 2x4 that's been tossed in there that's not treated wood. But if I walk up and there's a couch, there's a mattress,
yeah,
a mobile home, I'm really obligated to say something to us. I live here. I understand you can't load all your dumpsters up with the tumbleweeds. I get it. I'm not going to fault anyone for cleaning the car. I will fault them for burning things that they know they're not allowed to burn. We all live here. We all breathe the same air, folks.
Sir. Many times we've called the number for the fire department to report what we're going to do to get an answering machine.
Yes, sir.
If you leave a message, someone doesn't make it, is it okay to go ahead and burn?
Yes.
Okay.
We've always asked everyone, use the fire department station number 723-5000. Leave a message on the machine. However, if your neighbors are calling and saying there's a problem, I'm not checking the machine, I'm coming to the house to make sure there's not a problem. If there's no problem, I go home. If there's a problem, then we'll address it then. But it does help us get some kind of idea just what we're dealing with throughout the week. If the answer machine's full, at least you tried. If it's not full, a brief message, who you are, where you're at, what time you're going to be doing this. And of course, be mindful of the weather, folks. Winds start up out here, you know, just as well as I do. Your fire becomes someone else's fire.
I live here by my school's not there. Weeds don't make black smoke.
No. Weeds normally don't make black smoke. That's got to be it. Anything else for me? 723-5000. Thank you.
Thanks, Chief.
Okay, can we get a receive a report from Metro?
Really well, for our chef team at Metro. Once we had a little bit more people this month, I actually looked up stats again, just in case. We had 32 calls for service in Sandy Valley. Kind of one more canceled or 911 disconnects over there. So we responded to 22 calls. Generally speaking, same old stuff, mostly service and domestic type calls. We had one burglary, and yes, it was to a vacant house, possible burglary to a vacant resident, of course, suspected some power of that down inside. Other than that, there wasn't anything significant. I don't have any information to give you about 4th of July fireworks, other than it is against the law, but I'll be on the team. So. That's all I'm going to say about that. But other than that, we did 5 car stops within Sandy Valley and made 1 arrest. Those are statistics that are based off of just unverified address and conversations in Sandy Valley. We don't necessarily incorporate the outline areas to inform the Does anyone have any questions they want to ask?
I do. We have one young man that drives around in this valley with his music so loud,
yes,
that's about, oh my god,
yes,
out
yes
of my house.
Yeah, so I talked to
him. He came by my house at 2 o'clock this morning.
Yes, I am aware of that, and we're working on some
okay,
that's in front of Chicky about 11 o'clock.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right in front of my house.
And he knows where I'm from, so I can often live, and he conveniently stays away from the house.
Yeah.
Yes, I have been briefed on that issue. So we're working on trying to find it.
Anything else? The burglary that there was a burglary.
Was a vacant residence, so I guess it could be that one.
Well, the people are working on it, and they're just staying nearby. And we had a camera there, and a sign saying that the camera was there, and people were there at night.
How recent was that? It might have been the one probably, forgive me, I do read quite a bit of reports. It might have been the report where the camera was taken from the inside, but
I don't think
not
anything got changed.
If not, then
I got out there right away.
I don't know who came,
I can find out.
Yeah, I got a hold of it. But
okay.
Traditionally speaking, the biggest property crime issues that we do have out here have been to either abandoned, vacant residence, or seems like outside storage, storage structures seems to be one of the things that we have really a problem with. And it's our local, it's our state,
the people that got caught said, well, we thought this was just a residential property. I had no, it was a place that we didn't know.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Wasn't done.
They were.
Not the much.
They were actually caught.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
For
the cause. We called the next day, and I saw the truck there myself.
Last girl. Last night. I'm sure if there's some information that didn't necessarily cross my desk. All right, everybody, I'll be in the back if you have anything to grab.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We still got a couple weeks.
Okay, we get a receive a report from the Sandy Valley Schools. Did you want to take it?
The only thing that I have to report is that our school board of trustees brought us up in the May meeting for our high school again to revisit. And we may be on the agenda in August. So hopefully, I'll let you know.
Okay. We get receive a report from Clark County Parks and Recreation.
As I drove by this afternoon, spot that is working again. we have a sunscreen kiosk that's supposed to be coming pretty soon. And on June 13th, I'm doing a craft here at 5 p.m. Kids craft needs.
Okay. So she's underplaying the sunscreen kiosk. It's really cool.
It
it's like when
it's
you go places standard. And you get hand sanitizer, put your hand up, it dispenses sunscreen. So I'm not sure where we're going to put it. We'll figure that out. I'm picking them up tomorrow morning. So it should be out here by the
weekend.
Well, I will see. They're giving us two refills for now, and we'll continue to refill it as needed.
What's the SPF on the sunscreen? Don't know yet.
108.
Hopefully.
No. Is it
waterproof?
When we get it, we'll see.
Okay. What day is your craft meeting?
13th. It's Thursday.
Okay. Thank you. I don't see anyone from Valley Electric, so I don't think we're going to get a report from Valley Electric. Can we receive a report from Clark County Administrative Services?
Yes. Okay, so Peace Park, like Shauna said, today the splash pad is working. I understand it's frustrating that it's not working all the time. This site is a complicated site. There are a lot of demands on the water. It runs, one system runs everything. I know there are problems going on, and believe me, none of us wanted to have problems. I wanted it to be flawless. But they are working on it. It's a learning curve. Part of the problem is, I told y'all before, they have the rain brain for the splash pad, and the company that made the splash pad wants it to be so proprietary that they won't let us work on it, and we're telling them no, we have to be able to program it. So that's part of what we're working on. There have been some issues with, one was a rock plugged something and was causing some backup. We're exploring all possibilities. One of the problems is that there are four pressure tanks and only two have been able to be installed because we're working out issues with getting the right fire flow for the fire department. So we are diligently working on it. I think most of you see there's people up here all the time. We are embarrassed that this is kind of a problem, but when you get a new system, sometimes you gotta work things out. So if you notice that it's not working, if you notice something is wrong, if you see it flooding, anything that looks out of the ordinary, let me know. I know somebody was saying that the timer, there's something about a timer. There's not a timer that's going to keep you guys from using it, anybody from using it. during park hours. So I think right now it goes from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., I think. So I keep hearing, oh, well, they made a timer so we can't use it till noon. That is not accurate. We wouldn't do that. So if you're trying to play at night, I wouldn't advise it, and it's not going to work. But during the day, it should work. If it doesn't, please let me know. I think I'm pretty accessible, so get a hold of me, and I will, one of them, I was on vacation in California and texted our parks guy, and they were out here within 2 hours. So they care about it, and they want it to be done right, so yeah.
Megan, is there anything they can do about the situation between the splash pad and the senior center?
That's part of what they're working on.
Okay.
Yeah. In case anybody didn't know, when splash pad's on, they can't flush the toilet at the senior center. Definitely not a side effect when we're in the vacuum.
Wow.
So I know.
The showers.
Okay, Christine said the shower is still not working. It was the other day,
okay.
So maybe that's something new. Anytime you see something like that, but
okay. It wasn't working yesterday, Megan.
Okay.
Splash pad was, but the shower was.
Okay.
I've never seen it where it flooded now.
Okay. I had come out and tested it one day and it wasn't, and then supposedly a couple days later it was. So
okay.
We're all learning together.
Of course.
We
appreciate you.
It's a hell of a curve.
I know, yeah. So, Family Dollar Store, we are under crunch time right now. They need to get their permits in the next 2 weeks for it to be able to continue to be viable. I'm working very closely with them. I think we're going to make it, I hope.
Where's that going to be?
Hopi and Quartz. Hopi's goes up to the school.
School.
So it'll be on the northwest corner of Hopi and Quartz. And to hit their target goals, I guess I've just been talking to Family Dollar Corporate. They do not open stores in November and December, so it must be open by the end of October. So that is our goal. And New Paw Springs, the waiver of conditions was held, and it's being held till July 17th. So that is, it's still the date as of right now, unless something changes. If it changes, I'll let you know. And anything else for me? Any questions?
Do you know why that's been held for so long? Or
it was held for 60 days to work out the denial to see if they're working on it.
Yeah.
Anytime you're asking for something, if you get a denial, you don't like that. So they want to try to figure out, regroup it so that they can figure out. And it's not an issue.
What about our road out here, coming out here again? I always ask about that.
The road?
Yep.
Like I reported last month, Public Works did a survey.
Yep.
We had originally done a centerline survey to show where the centerline of the road was, but as you all know, the centerline varies, and when we striped it a couple years ago, remember, our lanes went, you know, weird. So centerline was not a sufficient survey for them. So they wanted a disturbed area survey. So in the places where they had to survey every part where there's pavement, where the land has been disturbed, and that was quite expensive. That was completed, and they have sent that to BLM for review. I sat down with BLM, met with them, and told them, listen, this is ridiculous. We need to be able to fix our road. They agreed. There is a document that I thought was the golden key. I thought, I am the savior, I am going to fix everything. And I got this document from BLM, and it said that you can fix the road. We understand it's an emergency, you can fix the road within the currently paved area.
Oh.
So they can just come in and go. So I have given that document to Commissioner Jones so that he can talk to the, this is above me. This is way above me. So I've given that document. So I've given that document to Commissioner Jones so that he can meet with the Director of Public Works and say, what can we do with this? And I think that we could probably negotiate with BLM to allow us some more leeway, but we're at the point it needs to be higher up than me. As persuasive as I can be, this is trying to change a federal document. So, so it is definitely happening. It's just, it's slow, so.
Can we do any new streets by any chance?
Can you what?
A new street, like Ottawa, you know, in Ottawa. Or some street, I mean.
No, we talked about that.
I've been here a long time.
Okay.
And the only street we got is this one.
Right.
And I've been here since 83. That's a long time.
We talk about this a lot, this comes up a lot, you're the first person to ask. And I know everyone knows, I'll try to say it quickly. Our roads out here are county dedicated, for right of way, for future right of way, for public use. But they have never been brought up to county standards for the county to take them on to maintain. So if you want to take Ottawa and bring it all up to standards, for the code, so that every one of us is driving on a standard road, you go right ahead and the county will accept it for maintenance.
Well, I pay my taxes, they're supposed to do that. Why do I have to
no.
worry about that? My job is paying the taxes, okay. Right? That's what I'm supposed to do. They're supposed to make the streets. That's not up to me.
Okay, but the road is not to the standards. You wouldn't want us to take roads to take care of?
But in 30 years, one road?
Well, your road, not my road.
Nothing has changed in those 30 years. No one has
moved. That's the only new road we got, though. I mean, we have one less zigzag. That's
because,
all we got.
Because I've explained to you, because it has not been brought up to those standards. When you see a development happening in town, we don't take that road until that developer who's using that road makes it to where the county says, that is okay, we will now put the bill on every taxpayer to take care of that road. So the roads out here have not been brought up to those standards. So you can look at it as they've never paved my road. But you can also look at it, we've never made you bring that road up to standards.
Or raise my tax.
Right.
And I will tell you, since I moved out here recently 3 years ago, my taxes went down 75% when I moved from town out here. One quarterly payment out here is what I paid. It was one quarterly payment, what I paid for a whole year here. So I understand we pay taxes, and I appreciate it. And, but I don't mind my gravel road, I have to tell you the truth.
I get it, but you want to see improvement once in a while, you know? Change is good.
Well, it's in your hands. It absolutely is in your hands. If you want to improve.
I put a house that I made improve.
Yeah, but just think, we're not going to force you to do it. So that's fine. Many, many, many years of taxes that you don't have to do.
My land's a lot nicer than it is now.
So, yeah. Okay, anything else? Okay.
Thank you, Megan.
Okay. And, we talked about doing another Planning 101 class. Several people reached out to me. I did that about 5 years ago. And it was really well received at the time. We have a lot of new residents. Things have changed with the code. So I had planned to do it earlier in the year, but with the new commissioner and all the projects, I wasn't able to do that. So I'm going to look to do that in the next couple months. I'll do it on a Saturday at the Senior Center. It's just a little bit bigger space for me to use. And assuming the Senior Center will let me. I will make sure the toilets are flushing.
Call them the Megan.
So I'll do that. I'm going to talk a little bit about agricultural use today in the code, but this would be kind of an overview of what is zoning. How does it benefit you if you wanted to do a zone change or a waiver or something? How would you go about it? It's a way so that you guys are empowered to know what's going on and have a better understanding of zoning, which can be very confusing. I've also talked to Public Works and Building Department, and they are both willing to have someone come out too. So if you have specific questions about roads or about building permits, because there's a lot of things that you can do that don't need permits. It'll be good to know those things. So I have them committed to come out as well. So I don't know if we'll do that all in the same day or do a couple of them, but I'm going to be doing that soon. And I'll put signs up and it'll be all over. It won't be a surprise. You guys will all know about it.
Nice.
Okay?
Make a quick
question.
When you do the thing on the planning and zoning, because the last one was good, but at the end of it, there was something missing.
What was missing?
All the advice that we need on how to stop something we don't want.
Okay.
That would be great.
Okay.
I mean, things that are within legal boundaries.
Sure, sure. Absolutely, yeah.
But it helps us to
know
where we would go to talk to who and what forms to fill out.
And that's good. It would be more, and that's what sparked me to do it in the first place, because something had gone through that didn't get appealed. That's why I did it in the first place. And I wanted the community to know how to appeal. So that's a really good point. So I'll do, I'll add on there the whole public hearing process and your place in it. So I'll do that. We may have to do 2 days, once a month or something, because there's a lot And the last one, we filled the whole thing with just plants, so we may have to do a little course. We'll do those. I'll make the certificates. I'll make those diplomas. So. All right?
Thank you. Okay, there is nothing on planning and zoning. So I would like to stress to everybody that there's nothing on the planning and zoning at this time. If you want to discuss something like that, I would kind of, for legal various reasons, we cannot really discuss anything during the planning and zoning time. If you want to make a 3-minute public comment, that's fine. But please, let's just stick to this agenda.
Okay, so you guys, I'm going to do a little, I'm going to put my computer up on here. So I don't know if the board wants to come around the other side. I'm going to sit where you are, Randy.
Okay.
So I'm going to try not to talk this way. I'm going to try to talk this way, but it's going to be a little interesting. So we'll see. Yeah. Remember, it took a minute. Easy to get.
Password.
I'm not kidding. So, hey Jeff, Sarge, can you just flip the lights off for me?
Lights off a little bit so we can see them. There we go.
Thank you.
That's Rocky.
Pearl, how's your arm?
My arm is still quite bruised. He gave me a love bite the other day, and it was not fun. So give me one sec. I'm sorry I had this up, and then my computer restarted. Okay, so what we're going to talk about now is something that had come up at the last meeting, and we talked about what, it's going to be like a mini zoning 101. What are, what's allowed to be grown, kept in our rural agricultural zone? And so I'm going to give you a little overview of what our zoning means and what we're allowed to do with it and not do with it. I'm sorry, okay. So the zoning code is called Title 30. You can get it online. It's a book about this thick. You can get it online. Everything about how you can use your property, what your zoning means, setbacks, heights, all that stuff, what your building needs to look like, all that is found in here. So today we're going to talk about, first I'll tell you what our zoning is. So let me show you what our zoning out here is. Pretty much all one thing, and it's all RU. Sorry, like I said, I had this up early and then my computer restarted. So. And I don't have a mouse, so I feel like handicapped. And this what I'm doing right now, this open door, there's a version called Open Web that's available to all of you. It's on our website, and it's not as robust as what I'm using, but you can still look up properties, you can look up zoning, you can look up who owns a property, when they bought it, how much they paid for it. There's lots of great information. So this is Sandy Valley. The gray, all this gray stuff, is RU zoning. So this property I just happened to click on, here's my zoning planned land use. You can see it's planned for rural residential rural, which means it's planned for the same thing it is now, which is RU, I'm pointing you right here, rural open land, half a unit per acre or 1 unit per 2 acres. So everything that you can see that's gray here is that. So we have almost all the same zoning everywhere. Along Quartz, these red parts and this little pink guy, these are C1 and C2, these are commercial zones. These green ones, this is the school, and this is where we are right now, the park. These are PF, public facilities. And then we have a couple others. That's Valley Electric, and it's MD, which is warehousing. This, I think, is Hungry Jose's, which I believe is M1, which is odd, but that's what it is. Light manufacturing at Hungry Jose's. I don't know.
Manufacturing tacos.
That, yeah. Here's the airport. So we have some that's RT and some that is RE. So pretty much most of our valley is RU, one house for 2 acres. RU is meant for what we use it for. It's meant for agriculture and homes. So we can go into Title 30, and I'm going to show you the definition of RU. I clicked on the wrong one. Sorry, guys. Zoning-based districts. This tells you every zone, what it's for, why, you know, why it is what it is. So, RU. This district, I'm looking the first definition there. This district is established to provide for very low density residential use and other appropriate uses of the vast areas of rural land. So most of our outlying areas are RU.
Are you sure?
I am. Just so you know, I am. My degree from college is in planning, city planning, and I was a planner in our planning department for 5 years. So, oh shoot, why did it?
I knew that was a joke,
right? Oh yeah. Okay. I'm just saying, just for people who don't know. So I lost mine. So now that we know what our zoning is, we can figure out what can we do with our zoning. And today, I mean, we could go through the whole zoning code and we could talk about every kind of use you could do and can't do. Today we're talking about agriculture because that's what the request was and that's what we're going to talk about. So for uses on our properties, like I said, I don't have a mouse, so I'm going. This is called the use tables, 3044, and it lists every use you can imagine and what you can do. So it has things, it has adult uses, it has casinos, it has retail, let's see, what's our next one here? Composting facility. So we could do composting facilities out here with a special use permit. I don't think anybody really wants to, but you could. So what we're going to look at is agriculture. So a big part of agriculture is animals. What kind of animals can we have? And that's here. And it breaks it down, aquaculture, aviaries. I'm going to go to the big and large, large, medium, and small animals. We'll start here with greenhouse, gardening greenhouse. So this is, if you are growing things on your property, for sale or for recreation, this is the category you fall under. So you can see under RU in our chart here, it says C. A C means a conditional use. So that means you can do that use as long as you meet the conditions. So here we say conditional use in residential zoning districts. So in RA and RU, which is us, gardening greenhouse is permitted as a principal or accessory use. So a principal use means it's the only thing going on that property. It's the main thing going on. This is what we have right down the street where they're putting the greenhouses up. When you look out from the cafe, that property there with the fence, they fall under this category because it's a principal use. They're allowed to do it without a home. As an accessory use, it means you could live there and grow stuff too. So those are the two ways you can do it on this on an RU property. In all other residential districts, we don't even worry about that because where are you? Sales of produce and crops grown on site are permitted. And this is where it's acknowledging that if you're going to grow peaches, probably you're going to sell peaches. Customers are permitted to the site to buy your crops. But keep in mind, that site down the street is growing hemp. They're growing hemp through the federal farm bill. Has allowed it through the state. So state laws will supersede our laws. So even though this says sale of produce and crops grown on site are permitted, they cannot sell hemp from the site because the state law does not allow it. So it supersedes our law. So don't think you're going to go there and buy some hemp. If you want to weave something out of hemp, you're not going to be able to buy it there. Customers are permitted to the site. And you can do signs. You can do a sign. This boarding staple signage is what everybody refers to. It's just small signs. And structures such as sheds, shade structures, and barns are allowed, provided that you meet the setbacks. This is telling you, in 3040, tells you how big it can be, how tall it can be, and what the setbacks need to be. So you can have structures there, like they have. They have a couple connexes. They're allowed to have those, but they still have to meet the setbacks. So they can't put it right on the property line. They were very close, if you guys noticed when they first put them out there, they were very close. So I went out and met with them and said, you can have them here as long as you get a building permit, but you still have to meet the setbacks. And in RRU, because we have large lots, it's a 40-foot front setback, so they had to move them back. So if you notice, they came out and moved them. They now meet the 40-foot setback. So that's for gardening greenhouse, for any kind of crop. Agriculture, hogs and pigs, in RU, you have to be in Community District 5, which we are. Most of our rural areas are CD5. And you have to have, you can have one per 20,000 square feet of lot area, up to two. So you can't have a whole lot of pigs. Agriculture livestock small is chickens, turkeys, ducks, bunny rabbits, chinchillas. There's a whole list, but those are all considered small. So here in RU, am I giving you too much detail?
No, I just want to have 200 chickens.
You can have 200 chickens. In RU, RU maximum of 100 animals, unless when you're located in Community District 5, and I keep touching my, pointing at my screen like you guys can see it. When located in Community District 5, 200 animals, if located on a lot, 80,000 square feet or less, there is no limit on the number of animals for lots greater than 80,000 square feet. So all of us out here that are on 2 acres or more can have unlimited number of chickens. Yes. But not unlimited numbers of roosters. So maximum number, but this is, you can have a lot of roosters. Maximum number shall not include more than 3 roosters over 3 months old when located in CD5, where we are. 5 roosters per breed over 3 months old are permitted with a maximum of 20. So you can have up to 20, but no more than 5 of any breed.
And you might need to be certified insane.
Yeah, you'd have to be a little kooky, but so raising and selling of livestock is permitted. Again, recognizing that if you're raising livestock, you probably want to sell it. Customers are permitted to the site, just like with gardening a greenhouse, and this is outside. And then again, you can have signage. It's little signage, and if you wanted that, I can look that up for you. But you can't help them on site, so. I don't know why or where that came from, but no pelting on site. So that is one of the benefits of us living where we live. I know we get frustrated because we say, oh, the code was written for the city and they don't understand. There are provisions made. So anytime you see Community District 5, that means we get something that the city doesn't get. That is where we are allowed to do more, have more, do different things.
That was a 3-month battle to get that in there, right. Too.
So, but we did. So so then medium goes along with the, it's just, the, and you read this just the same way. If you're in, let's see, outside of Community District 5, if located within Community District 5, you can have up to 200, which I just think is unbelievable. 200 for under eight, for two acres or under. If you're over 2 acres, which is all of us, you can have up to 400 goats or sheep or anything. I think emus are considered in this category. So I wouldn't rush out and get 400 animals, but yes, and but it is just one second. It is a bit self-limiting. because even though you could cram 200 goats on there or sheep, you still have to provide a minimum 120 square feet of stall or pen area for every two animals. So there's no way you could provide that much area for 400 animals. So there, it puts a limit on it so that people don't go crazy. Yes?
The limit is not anything like that. The limit is simply nobody can afford to feed them.
Right. But if you were super rich and wanted to have 400 sheep, you maybe could get close. Again, selling of livestock is permitted, and all those other things. Now we go on to the large. Livestock medium. I should have attached a mouse to this. Livestock large. Conditional use in RU, which is us. If located, if located within Community District 5, for lots 80,000 square feet or less, so if you have less than 2 acres, one animal per 4,000 square feet. For lots greater than 80,000 square feet, but less than, so it's greater than 2 acres, less than 4 acres, you can have 200. Now, I can't imagine putting 200 horses on my property. But again, this is the self-limiting thing, because you also have to provide turnout space for them, and again, you have to have 120 square feet of stall or pen area for each animal, and you also, there's another condition about turnout area. Oh, because you have to also meet the conditions, and this is where the code can get frustrating. It says you also have to meet conditions 3, 6, 7, and 8 for commercial boarding stables. So to find out what you would need to do, you'd have to look to the conditions for commercial boarding stables. It's just so that they don't have to repeat the same stuff throughout the code. You can refer back to that. That also requires 1,200 square feet of turnout area per animal. So again, it's self-limiting on how many animals you can have. And for us, we probably all could meet these rules. I just had to work on a property up in Coal Creek. They're zoned RE, which are half-acre lots. So on those half-acre lots, they could have 7 horses. But they were providing no stall area and no turnout area. So even though the number, they said, well, we're fine, we got our 7 horses. Well, if you don't have any turnout or stalls, you aren't fulfilling the conditional use. You aren't meeting the conditions. So, and the argument that they gave us was, well, they're rescues. Well, a rescue horse still takes up space and poops and does all that stuff. So as much as I value rescues, it doesn't change that it's a full-size horse. Okay, so those are the uses that we can do on our properties. That's in addition to being able to have a home, a manufactured home. And as you can see, nowhere, and I know this is the topic that people want to talk about, and we're only going to talk about it in a limited way, but I know people want to talk about growing marijuana. There are rules about you being able to grow your own personal marijuana. I don't know what they are. Those are state laws. I don't really care. That's a state law. It's an enforcement issue. I will show you what, and this code, like I said, is available to everybody. Marijuana cultivation is highly regulated. No, it is not constantly changing. No, it is not. Constantly changing. It is not constantly changing. There's been one change. There's been, since it was first introduced, the state legislature, and keep in mind, everything has come from the state legislature. The county has to implement the laws, but the state legislature makes the rules. When they first approved medical, it was limited to medical. Then they introduced recreational, which was permitted. That's been the change. Okay, so here in our same code is cultivation facility. So in our little boxes across here, like we were looking at things that said C earlier for conditional, you can see in every residential zoning district, so these are giant, big, our big lots, down to apartments. These are tiny apartments. It is not permitted. There is no marijuana cultivation as a use, not for your personal use, as a business or as a producer. It is not permitted in any residential district. In C2, it's a conditional use for these zones, but that's, you can see here, only when redesignating the cultivation facility. To do a new cultivation facility on any kind of property, the only zones that permit it are C2, which is your big box commercial, that's where Walmart is, Smith's, that's large commercial, MD, which is your warehousing, you see those big office warehouse complexes, that's MD. M1 is the next step up from that, a little more intensive industrial. So unless state law changes, it is not permitted, which it can't now. We just finished the state legislature. They don't meet again until 2 years. Unless that changes, it is not permitted for cultivation in any residential district, including agricultural, which these here are the residential agricultural districts.
We approved a change of zoning for Nopa Springs so that they could do salsa.
So they could have a commercial kitchen.
Right. Was that C2 thing that they've done?
Yes, C2. And there are lots, like we looked at our zoning layer before, there are, so our MD, our M1, our MD, I believe this is, we couldn't, you know what, and it couldn't even be done here at KMI, because that blue is heavy industrial. So right now, it could be done, here's Nopa Springs, it could be done at, it could not be done at this pink one, which is the store. It could be applied for, requested at any of these red properties or the M1 here. I think this is M1 also. I think this is the propane place. M1. So the red and the green, these teal green, are the only places they can even apply. If they came in to apply on a residential property, it would not be accepted because it is not permitted by the code.
And
that's for the entire Clark County.
But that's residential,
like the M1. This is for commercial business or a large scale operation. This isn't for individual people. And like I said, I don't know what those rules are. And I don't really care. that's if you want to do it, you can find that out. I'm sure that I could help you find it out. But yes.
6 months per person.
Yes.
I think you're aware around the situation with water. With water on these cultivation things. I do a lot of stuff with the state water authorities. I have a couple of commercial wells here, and I was told by the state water engineer that in order to grow crops, you need 4 water rights per acre.
Okay. So I didn't go around anything. Water rights.
Say, if you want to grow an acre of watermelons or alfalfa, you need 4 water rights on your property. No, you do. Well, that's what they said.
You know, I checked into that quite a lot. Remember I worked out a long time ago when I didn't want to grow watermelons?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, you already live a couple blocks.
Yeah,
if you have one well, if you have water right, you're allowed 360,000 gallons of water a year. Okay, that's more than enough water to grow 1.5 acres of melons.
I know schools are not, you know, according to them, but it's only last year I spoke to them, right? In order, you need 4 water rights per acre in order to grow any current crop. Not to say I have a personal garden or something, but if you're going to do it commercially, like grow marijuana or something, any one of these lots, they can apply for the zoning change. Let's say they use an M1 or a C2, whatever it is, for it. But along with that, to do a commercial, they're going to need water rights.
Right. But let me explain. The state water engineer does not care what the zoning of property is. State water engineer cares about water use and water rights. So, same thing with zoning. Not that we don't care about water, but if somebody comes in to ask for that, it's their job to prove that they have the water, to do that research, just like it would be up to them to prove they have electricity, to prove that they have septic. So zoning is looking at land use. So that's it. There is no agency, I don't think, anywhere in the country that does everything. It would be untenable. You could not do it. So that is why, and even with your home, if we say, are you can have a house on 2 acres. We're not saying, remember, you got to get a well. That's up to you to know that you need to get a well. And that's part of the development process. Think of zoning and land use as conceptual. It's, is this use, is this thing okay for this property? For the use, the building, the shape, what you're asking to do. The nitty gritty is the development part. And if you don't do your homework, you know, it happens a lot. I will tell you, our Family Dollar, that is part of what has held them up, is they bought a property and they didn't do their due diligence. And the property looks great. We drive by it all the time. It's fine. It's in a flood area. We all know that it floods by the school. It comes through there. Their engineer is in Ohio. They don't have flash floods in Ohio. So they had to raise that site 4 feet and put in flood mitigation to be able to build there. So when we approved it, we looked at, is that site big enough for a Family Dollar? Yes. Is that design of the building okay? Yes, we asked for some changes, they made them. Can they put enough parking? Can we? Is there access enough off of the roads? Where are the driveways gonna be? That was the concept. Then they have to go to the nitty gritty and prove that they're gonna have fire suppression, that they're going to be able to have the drainage, that they can have it handle the traffic flows. That's after the concept is approved. So I hear what you're saying about water, and water is absolutely important, but for what we're talking about right now, we don't look at water. We say you need to go figure out water. Yes.
So is what you're saying is that, like, I can get my property zoned to do whatever, mm-hmm. but then when I go to get the water or whatever, it can be turned me down and say, okay, you make me zoned to do that, but you're not set up for that, so you can't do it.
For building a house, probably you probably wouldn't run into that. In Pahrump, they do run into that because they have oversold water rights. So you may buy a property in Pahrump and go say, oh, I'm going to dig my well now. And they say, oh, sorry, there are no water rights because they've all been sold. So in other places that can happen. Here in Clark County, that is not the case. So here, pretty much, you have rights that come along with your property. And I am not a well expert, so you do your own homework. But for a single residential home, I've never known that there was a problem. But I will tell you, like in Calico Basin, they're in a different aquifer. They are running into some problems. And there may be a point where they don't have the water rights because there's just not the water to serve another lot. But right now in Sandy Valley, we do not have that problem. And it's not anywhere in the foreseeable future. Yes. Oh, okay, we have another question here. Now I'm back to you.
My understanding years ago, you were allowed to punch one well per acre of land that you own. Okay, I have a commercial well and I was 1,400 feet down the ground. I have my deep my water right. I'm about to pump some water. You could suck more water out of the ground without a water right. You just sink the well. You can run that thing 24/7. That's how you get around.
Right, and they're not
so
metered.
I just thought that just, right. I already looked into it when I first mentioned.
Right.
It didn't happen.
Yeah, let's not get buried in water rights because I don't know that we're all sharing correct information because some things that I thought I had been told turned out to not be true. So if we want to have that discussion, we can put it on a future agenda. But
I just thought it was.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Yes.
Within the last 3 weeks, both houses of our Congress, state Congress, Senate and the Assembly, voted to limit our use in our wells to 1/2 acre foot of water per year.
Okay, well,
and I don't know, did Steve Sisolak sign that? If he did, we're all screwed and none of this is a moot point because grow up up too.
Well, that's, we're not going to argue about that, but I will tell you what you're saying is an entry. So Pahrump, in a place where the rights have been oversold, they reserve the right to be able to meter because who are you going to take the, this is how I think of it. If you have 2 children and you're giving them each 1/2 of your fortune when you die, you have a 3rd child, you have to take away from those 2 to give a 3rd child, or if the 3rd child gets nothing. So sometimes there's the decision that has to be made. So that's what that is. But I know it's been misinterpreted, but that's what that is.
It was so statewide, though, not just...
It was only in basins that have been designated in as an emergency. Only in those basins. Maybe. I promise.
You know why Pearl has that problem? Because they subdivided the 2.5 acres.
Too much. Correct.
So you
correct.
Have all these wells being punched down, aquifers down, right. There's basically there's holes in the ground.
Right.
And the water basin used to be up there line. That's why we don't want to see that happen here.
We don't.
No,
absolutely not.
Well, this is what would come up in these meetings. We talk about the zoning aspects of it. Anyway. So that's kind of getting back on
right.
track.
And we'll, right. And I've got, I'm sorry. What's my items? I'm sorry. Yes, and that is very important to keep in mind. So in a couple years, we're going to go through the land use planning process, which helps us determine our future. So I'm going to change the view here. So this is the zoning today. If you went to these properties today, like right here, this is the store. Today, they have C1 zoning. They can use C1 zoning. These properties, some of them have houses on them, these red ones. The commercial ones, right now they may have a house on it, and they can stay live in that house forever. But they have C2 zoning, so if they wanted to build a store, a gas station, a restaurant, they could take advantage of that C2 zoning. They'd have to go through all the process. They'd have to get a design review. They'd have to go through all that process, but they have that ability to use that zoning. And this is as it stands today.
They can have a house and a store?
No. Well, no, the answer would be no. But there's ways you can have a manager's residence so someone could live on the site with the store. But no, you couldn't have a house and a store. You kind of have to pick. It's either going to be residential or it's going to be commercial.
It's kind of silly that you have more freedoms to do that sort of thing in New York City than you do out here.
There, I just explained that there are ways to do that. So don't put words in my mouth. That's not what I said. So I'm going to change our view to the future. Looking to the future of Sandy Valley. And it's called planned land use. So you can see it's pretty much the same. So all of these were not red before. There are some that were not red. That means that if there's one of these properties that is currently RU and has a home on it, but I know there's a few along here, the homes are have been abandoned, they're falling down. So right now it's a home, but someone could say, I think that's a great site for a restaurant. They could ask for a zone change to go to commercial, and it would be conforming. That means the plan says you could be commercial, so they can ask for commercial. This property right here, let me zoom in. Next door, so this guy right here, this one, they could come in and ask for commercial, and it's conforming. This one right here is not. So do we want all of course to be commercial? I don't know. Do we want all that frontage to be commercial? I don't know. But in a couple years, planning's going to be coming out. They're going to have big colored maps like this, and they're going to say, what do you want to see? Do you think courts should be all available for commercial if people want to switch? And no one's going to force them to switch. But if they want to be able to have that as something they can take advantage of, is that where we want to see commercial? And as you were bringing up about subdividing and water rights and everything, the plan, you can see all this gray, the plan is to keep it rural. The plan is 2 acres or more. This is called open land, which means there's no plan to do anything here at all.
Here's
that
BLM.
This is a lot of BLM.
Can I address that?
You can ask a question. What?
Huh?
Yes, sure.
Well, I've been a licensed and bonded auctioneer since 1969, and 2008, BLM approached me to do the battle auctioneer, but I didn't want to travel down the state. I brought a map just to show you what BLM had planned. This is almost the same map you have up there. You guys can look at it later. This is Sandy Valley. These are one section, 660 acres. This is what Country Corners is here. This is a quarter section. This, earmarked by BLM for disposal. Up before the crash in 2008, they were earmarked to go on the auction block, the auction door,
and then they pulled it during the recession because they can't get any money for it. The corner of Cherokee and Sandy Valley Road, someone petitioned BLM to sell them that. BLM said no, because they couldn't get anything for it during the recession, so they wouldn't put it up to bid. That's the process. You find a piece of BLM land that you're interested in buying, approach BLM. If they're interested, they think they can get enough money, they put it up to bid. They haven't done that since the recession because there's no money in it. But this outside section here of Sandy Valley was all earmarked before the crash for sale. Now, of course, 2.5 acres and had to follow the same zoning and stuff. But when the market's getting a little stronger and stuff like that, you might see Sandy Valley double in size, just what you might be interested in.
Is that the difference between the light green and the dark green?
No, the light green. We have aerial photos. They do aerial photos of all of Clark County. So the dark green part is really where there's an aerial photo. The light green is where there's no aerial photo under there. It's just they don't do aerial photos of vast open area that there's no pictures. They focus in on our community. So you can see, here's Good Springs. So the darker parts are where there's little towns. This is Mountain Springs. That's what you're seeing there. So it's not a different color. It's just over gray, so it looks darker. So
these are just options that they have, not that it's going to be commercial.
Correct. This is the future if they want to take advantage of it.
Right.
It is not zoning. It is not in place. If you guys came as a community, because this will be open to the whole community, and there'll be plenty of notification to ask you to come down and give your input. In town, like in Enterprise and Spring Valley, where things are exploding and going crazy, this is a hugely controversial process because some people may own land and say, well, I want to do apartments here, so I want the plan to be changed for me to do apartments. The neighbors may have, you know, single family homes and say, we don't want to change to apartments, we want to change to commercial. So it gets highly controversial where there's a lot of speculation on land. We don't have that kind of land speculation going on out here, so it probably wouldn't be as controversial, but it depends, and the community is welcome to come out, and if the community says let's make it the opportunity to have commercial all along Quartz, then they could put that out there, and it'll go through the public hearing. They'll get all the input, and then they'll come up with a list of the proposed changes, and then they'll bring it to the CAC, and then it goes to the Planning Commission, and then it goes to the Board of Planning Commissioners. And some get approved, some don't. So,
on the property on Quartz where they're putting in the greenhouses to grow hemp, that is not commercial.
But it doesn't have to be for what they're doing.
Okay, but so if they decide to grow the non-smoking type, the fiber product, they can grow that, but if they try to grow medical marijuana or recreational, they're in deep doo-doo.
They can, and that's not what they're doing. I have been working with them. That is not what they're doing. I know there's a lot of speculation. That literally is not what they're doing, and it's highly regulated as well by the state, so not as highly regulated as marijuana, but they have to get a state license, and the reason that they're just now doing their greenhouses is because they hadn't gone through the proper procedures to get the right building permits. They finally did get them. That's why they're able to move ahead now. So we keep an eye on things. You know, it may seem like we don't, but we are keeping an eye on things and making sure people follow the rules. I don't, I live here. I don't want anyone to ever think, well, that's Sandy Valley. I don't have to do it right. I don't have to follow the rules. So yeah, it's gonna be frustrating. For them, they thought, we can go out there and build anything. I mean, it's agricultural, it's the country, you know, nobody's care for growing stuff. Well, I take offense to that because it's along our main road and they need to follow the rules just like the rest of us are required to. So yes, there's a lot of rules and there's a lot of procedures, but I don't want us to be treated any differently just because we're out in the country. I think it needs to be just as safe as in town.
Now, on the map, I don't know that NOPA was showing as commercial on this one.
Probably not.
Because it wasn't.
So let me explain that. So if one of these parcels, this is what we talked about, this guy right here, if this one wanted commercial, they would have to go through, it's called a non-conforming zone change process. It's very lengthy and it's very expensive by design because we don't want people asking for things that aren't the plan. They cannot even submit unless the commissioner allows them to submit. And usually the commissioner does because it's like, you got to prove your case. I'll let you submit, but you got to prove your case. So those take at least 6 months. And I think it's upwards of $10,000 in fees to do that. So we make it so that we don't want people to go with our code. The community decided what we want it to be. And so that's what it is. So yeah, it wasn't shown that because it wasn't intended to be.
Just had a quick question.
Yeah.
So down closer to the airport, there's like a lot of teeny tiny little
right over there on that edge right there.
The green?
On the other side?
The green?
And they're almost like...
They're 3/4 acre lots.
Oh, these are... Oh, okay. So these here?
Yeah.
These are old claims when it was mapped out years and years ago. This is all owned by this Lexington Realty Services.
There's a couple in there.
Which... These are owned, I am very nosy, and this group has a mailing address, I believe, if it's still the same one, in Switzerland.
What about that?
In Switzerland? Let me look, hold on. Let me tell you, if you're nosy like me, there is no end of information you can find out. So,
I clicked on some of them, it's 0.05, which,
they can't build them.
This Lexington Realty Services goes back to I think it's in Switzerland. The cemeteries there, those are old plots. When the West started, that's how they thought it was going to develop. So you could not develop one of those, but you'll see how the pink here is a big lot. They are little, and there's not very many of them. I would feel sorry for someone that bought one of those because there's nothing to do with it, because you have to have a minimum 2 acres. There may have been a time when they sold, like this one's 1 acre. I'll bet this one's 1 acre next door. So these are 1 acre. So the code, so here's what happened. In the Wild West, they came and platted this out thinking this is going to be the town site. And so it'd be like a western town with all the little buildings, right next to each other. And so they would sell off those individual parcels. Well, that's not how we developed. That's not how it is. So those maps still exist. They've never gone away. They were legally recorded. Those lines exist on a map somewhere. So we can't just wipe them out. But they are not viable. So they're not viable now. So like this person who bought this, if someone were to buy this 1 acre, it's less than what's developable because you're only allowed to develop 2 acres or more. The code has a section called non-conformities. And so if somebody were to buy one of these and it was legally divided, which it probably was, they probably would be able to develop it, but they would still have to follow the zoning rules. So,
which means they can't really develop it because you can't get your septic system and your well 100 feet
well,
apart.
But there are ways to work around that. Mount Charleston is this way. Mount Charleston has rural zoning like we do, but they have little teeny tiny lots. So there's things in the code that take that. There's also big parcels up in Mountain Springs that were there before the highway went through, and the highway split them into two parcels on either side of the highway. So you have one parcel that may be big enough and the other one's small. So it would be considered a taking if we said, you own land, can't do anything with it. So we work with them on that. So there's ways to work on that, but that's what those are. Good Springs, the whole town's like that. I'll show you. And maybe you don't care if I'm gonna show you anything.
They don't have a well and septic on the same property, on those little lots though.
Yeah, they do. There's ways to do it. They do.
Awesome.
Yeah. So Good Springs is all like that because if you look at the old pictures from 1913 of Good Springs, it was like an old West town where it was little tiny buildings all next to each other. If you ever go to a ghost town, it's like that. So I think that's how they thought it would develop. And you can see some were done that way. Some of the things were that way. So that's what that is. They aren't used that way now, but that's historic. That's what that is.
Okay.
Yes.
did the census last time.
Uh-huh.
I've had the pleasure of meeting a lot of these people in Good Springs.
Uh-huh.
And we talked about that. We were up there. At that time, the only people that still lived there, what they explained to me is how that worked was that they inherited this land from three or four generations ago. It was a mining town.
Mm-hmm.
Those little lots were set up like that lengthwise so that you could get your wagon in the back of it, put your living quarters in front of it, and room for your ox or your mule on your wagon. That was your little mining plan.
Yeah.
And a lot of people bought three or four of them as years went on, right. And they bought the neighbors when they moved out. So now the people live on an acre and a half.
And they continue to do that.
And they have all these little, and that's what they were for. Their ancestors lived on there, and they're kind of like, that's why they're long and skinny.
Yeah.
That's a basic base.
And you can get a well and septic farther apart.
It's a real education to listen to them talk.
So yeah. You can see here, like this one is individually owned, and it's only, let's see, where's the size? 0.08 acres. And the house was built in 1910. This same person owns this next one and this next one. So, so they own these three. So yeah, it's just kind of the history of the West is like you're looking at it right there. It's kind of cool.
Sandy Valley used to have 40,000 people living in a tent city, and that's probably what the lots were done that way before.
Okay, so I think that's all I have to share right now on that. It's way more probably than you bargained for. I am a planning nerd. I love this stuff. So I could talk all night. But are there any other specific questions? Yes?
One more question. Just because you brought those maps up.
Yeah.
If you don't want to talk about it tonight, that's your question. But I just didn't even talk about the road. But when you're talking about the master plan that's coming up and so forth,
mm-hmm.
and the changes that they're making to the road designations, are changes that are looking into the future.
The road designations, yeah, the change.
They just change what they're calling them.
They change what they're calling them and what the ultimate width would be.
Yeah. They all have names, arterials and six
right.
roads and all that.
Some of they remove the names on some of them, so they don't even have the designation.
Yeah,
they're unnamed.
Has no
and so those will be as wide as they need to be if the development happens. A lot of out here, they were 100 and 120, and they took them down to 80. So the ultimate someday built out width would only be 80. It wouldn't be 100. So
they're very specific roads that they did that with.
Correct. And they were your section line roads.
Yeah.
So
like Colo is going to go all the way through now at 80 feet rather than 120, which is never going to be 100.
Right. Well, and seeing it's going to, it's if development were to happen.
Yeah.
If development were to happen. Because you guys know when you drive in Vegas, you have roads that change like Wallapai, Rampart. Right. Well, that, but you have roads that change names because people didn't look ahead to think, oh, this road's going to connect to this road. So you have to plan ahead, and that's what they're doing. The ultimate future plan, if the development never happens, it's never going to go through. It's just, if it happens, we have a plan in place. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand. I was just wondering why they keep those particular roads.
They were section line roads. No, that's fine. They, when you're making a plan, you have to have some parameters. You know, if I said plan a town, I think we ought to do this, kids. Make a little town. Yeah. So you draw the roads.
SimCity.
You exactly. You choose certain roads that are going to be the big roads, and some. And so how do you choose that? They say let's go on section lines and quarter section lines. So as we zoom out here, you'll see these are our sections, and then we have quarter sections. I keep pointing everything. This is like a quarter section, and then it comes down, and then you can even go smaller. And so it just happens to be Colo is a section line road right here. So that's how they chose. To us, it seems arbitrary because Colo isn't a major road. Like Oswego probably, or Osage probably would make more sense. It doesn't always develop the way on section lines. So that, but that's how the decision
is. Is Cherokee a section line road?
Cherokee is. Cherokee is a section line. And like the road in front of my house is a section line road too, so I'm still at 100 feet. So So anyway, that's what that is about.
So see, they did that to you.
Yes.
Yeah, this is really very interesting for all this, all this information and stuff. It's a shame there's not more people here because Sandy Valley's kind of fueled rumors and stuff. There's an interesting story about 10 years ago. This couple moved out of Vegas. They sold their house. They went out to the Sandy Valley and built their dream house. They got in touch with a real estate agent. This is true. Really happened. The real estate agent brought them out here and showed them a couple of lots and said, you can't build a real estate house here. This is on his own for double lots, mobile lots. So they built a double lot. I don't want to find out when they could have built a state house. Real estate agents are probably the stupidest people in the world.
Well, they share misinformation. We're not going to call them stupid. They share misinformation.
There's 16,000 of them in the state, and I guess like 300 of them make a decent living.
Okay.
Anyway, there's got to be some way that we can convey to people who want to move out here to Sandy Valley, either residentially or do business. As a case in point, the pig farm was next to the general store. They came out here thinking they could do anything they wanted to Sandy Valley.
Correct.
Right? They don't know. It's part of the county. You've got to comply with the same rules and regulations. My idea is to print up a flyer, a brochure, leave it at the general store, leave it at the post office and stuff. Move out, moving to Sandy Valley, relocating, great place to live, raise a family. By the way, it's still part of our county. You've got to comply with the rules. a nice, simple flyer. Gradually, the real estate agents will get a hold of these things, and we can educate them. Fact, they can't throw people out here to make a quick commission just to sell a piece of land to someone who's going to make us become enemies taking sides on stupid projects.
You know what, Mark? I rarely agree with you, and I agree with you 100%. I rarely agree with you, and I agree with you 100% on what you're saying right there.
Well, I have a lot of good ideas.
I absolutely agree. I think it's a shame. I get to deal with a lot of our people that come through here for approvals, for waivers and use permits, because a realtor has told them, oh, you don't need to get a permit. Our PFC range that you can, our shooting range, their realtor said, you don't need to get a right of way from BLM. Just drive across BLM land. You don't need any permits. Just start doing business. And they believed it, because you want to believe realtors have authority, and I don't want to badmouth realtors, but they do give a lot of misinformation, and I try to help out as much. You know, I am the biggest banner waver for this town. I love it. I chose to move here.
I think the moral of the story is you got to do your own.
I know,
homework.
But you know, I think people think when they're asking the realtor, they're doing their homework. I think they think that. So yeah, I completely agree. If you run into someone like that, give them my number. That's part of what I do is educate. I talk about this stuff all day long, obviously.
You
got to
put stuff up and leave it hanging somewhere.
Sure.
Leave out flyers.
Sure.
Gradually, world.
Good idea.
Around.
Yeah.
Can I add something just going in with that? You know, you talked about holding some classes for the community on a lot of this. So I think when we get to that point, we advertise it out and kind of educate our community, and the community can help educate. Because a lot of us run into people that are thinking of moving out here. I know I do with the school and just with people I know in Vegas that visit out here. So that might be a good at least first step in educating ourselves to educate others.
Yeah.
And then one thing.
Quickly, yes.
Yeah, almost. I run Greg knows, and a lot of people know, I buy houses, renovate them, sell them. I brought a lot of nice families out here. This young lady sitting right over here.
She's
one
nice.
Of the houses. Yeah. Most of the people are moving out here. The typical 2.2 kids, 1.3 cars, and house and mortgage. And not, fly by nights and stuff. I'm getting a lot of nice people moving out here. And one of the reasons is they came out here 20 years ago, they wouldn't want to live here. There's all junkyards and meth ads, and this place has really come a long way in the past 15 years. However, we have an interesting opportunity here as a community. We're going to need steam all over in the next 3 to 5 years if we're going to do something about it. I'm not saying anything drastic or anything like that. There's going to be growth and development here. August of 2000, you watch, Las Vegas is going to boom. Greatest stadium, the two noble hotels are being built. The convention center, there's 15 major projects. They're all going to be completed by August 2020. There's going to be millions of more people coming into town. They get around, it's probably they're going to build that airport. It's going to happen sooner or later. Sandy Valley is the closest place for residential workers to work at that airport.
this place is going to start pumping. Another reason is that all the land in Las Vegas Valley is being bought up and built on. They're on loss. That's why they're trying to get into Red Rock Canyon. Sandy Valley is going to be next. The land I told you about for disposal, you'll see that going. Sandy Valley may double in size. 3,000 people live here right now, they're going to get lost. 20,000 people won't live here. We do have the ability right now to moderate that. I used to live in a neighborhood in Henderson.
Real quick, we're veering off into public comment. We're gonna do public comment in just a minute.
I'll sum it up real fast.
If we just need questions, we're still gonna hold public comment.
I live in a neighborhood between St. Rose, which was two lanes at the time, now it's 215. Mr. Woodbury from the county handled everything from Sereno and between Pecos and East. Some of the roads in there weren't paved, so on and so forth. We're surrounded by high density. We knew what was happening. We knew what was going to happen in that area. We took it upon ourselves to form a committee for our neighborhood. We went to the city of Henderson, went to the county.
Mr. Chairman, may I petition that we move on to public comment?
Yeah, let's go on.
I second that.
And you can finish.
All right, I'll finish in public comment.
Thank you.
Okay.
There was one question.
I'm sorry. I don't know yet. I need to put it together, and I need to coordinate with the senior center. And I'm hoping in the next couple months, and I'll put it out everywhere. I'll put flyers out and everything. So, okay. And I'm always here on Tuesdays. If you guys have more questions about this or questions about that, I work out of this office on Tuesdays. So come in and see me.
Thank you.
Don't take my chair.
That was an
excellent
presentation.
Oh. Very
great job.
Very
or wordy,
you know.
Okay. Can't shut it off, black it out, right?
Well, yeah, turn right now.
Good job.
Yes, again, I want to thank Megan for the presentation. I think it was very educational, and hopefully maybe we can put, when we have time permitting, we could do this again.
If you have topics you want to know about, we can put it on there and have a little presentation. Fine. Or we bring people out and talk about it.
That too, that would work. Okay, let's go with public comments. Please, let me just say, please keep it to 3 minutes, and please state your name. Okay, we'll start with you.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Joseph Rodriguez, Jr. I moved here in 99. I'm a member of the Free Store Food Program. And this goes to Ms. Nathan.
Yes.
We're not allowed to drive the truck there on the new place because they put concrete there and made a sidewalk. My question is it okay to bring the truck up to the sidewalk and unload the goods there and use pallet jack to take it to the tables? Because right now we're using the front of the library. If you need a little rock, a pallet jack, pallets are high, and that stuff fall over. Not only that, but 3 people have fallen down and have stained and stood with the bicycle after that. You have stepped down on the curb, then you have a little concrete thing to keep the parking. I need to work with you, and I have to bring these tables. I have to read my name, and I just had hip surgery. Work with me, please. Tell me what I got to do to make it right.
You don't have to come to this meeting. You can get over me anytime, and we've been before many times before. So I'll share a little bit what he's talking about. So Three Square, Sandy Valley Food Share is our food bank here, and they do an amazing job. And they have a trailer here on the site. They use the park for distribution. It's a great partnership. But we have a lot of things going on this site. And we just got a $3 million upgrade on this park. And I am not willing to say that it's okay to drive a semi over the sidewalk that we just got.
No.
Right. But I know people are very angry with me for this decision. And Sandy Valley Food Share is a very valuable program. But if they would have cracked that sidewalk, if that sidewalk got cracked or messed up, I think we'd all be pretty pissed off.
Right.
And
I don't know that our cooperative relationship would continue if you're damaging major county facilities. So I'm trying to help you.
Can I get back to you?
Please do.
Yeah.
Please do. We'll talk about it. We want everyone to be successful.
Are you here tomorrow?
I'm not. I'm here on Tuesdays. But
no, I need to see you personally. How can I get over to you?
I'll give you my card, or you can, or next Tuesday you can see me.
I want to see you before that.
Okay, okay. I can probably be out here in the morning. So we'll
talk. Okay, we'll talk later. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me just
3 minutes.
I'm just going to sum up what I was going to say. And we knew the neighborhood was in an unorganized manner. Some of the streets weren't paved. Development was moving around us. We went to the city of Henderson and the county, put together a committee from our neighborhood. They thought it was very refreshing. Instead of everybody coming in battling for commercial along Eastern and Pecos, we did it with one swoop, one pen. We redesigned the whole neighborhood on both Pecos, Eastern, between Serene. Mr. Woodbury from the county treated that little strip of between the 215 and Serene as if whatever we decided, they're going to do the same thing. It worked. We had 1 year of public hearings. We hashed out a whole plan about the whole community, made part of it a rural preservation zone, which is like Sandy Valley. No curbs, no sidewalks, you can have horses, stuff like that. They passed it. Henderson passed the whole plan. They thought it was so good, they used it as a model for three other neighborhoods in Henderson. Right? All I'm saying here is we have an opportunity now to kind of do the same thing here in this battle, to gain control of what the future is going to be, do a master plan with the county officials, sit down and say, okay, this is what the needs of Sandy Valley, this is the growth of the direction you think it's going. Let's sit down and plan it out now, right? Because if we don't, 3 or 4 years from now, we're going to be sitting in this room and everybody's going to be crying about, oh, they're putting this, they're doing that. You got a chance to do about it now. I brought this up 7 or 8 years ago. Nobody listened to me. I'm bringing it up now, and I hope you do something about it. Put together a group. Sit down with the county officials. I'm sure they'd be glad to work with us. You'd be saving them a lot of aggravation, a lot of nonsense, and people running down complaining about things in a couple of years. Do it now. Get it over with. You know, you can save a life as well. Because I'm telling you, BLM's going to sell some stuff, and people are going to be moving in here like crazy.
Thank you.
I have a question on that. Is that something that the city does?
We're not supposed to have a discussion at this point, but I will say I feel that that's part of what the CAC is. Henderson does not have CACs. Henderson does not have CACs.
No, we are citizens.
Right, but they didn't have this ability to have this local board. So anything that you're talking about would come through this board.
Sure.
And if we started to see that, it's something we could put together. But for right now, I think it's premature. I hear what you're saying, and you brought it up many times in the past 7 years.
That's
so,
right.
But if we start seeing the development coming in, I know.
It's too late then.
Okay, well, I guess
it is. So then my suggestion would be you should probably get together some people and maybe make your own subcommittee.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be the CAC.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else want to make a comment?
I'd say with Karen Marshall. I just wanted to say that the vote is going to come up again in July. I would ask that as many of the board members as could attend the county commission meeting when that vote comes up, the final decision on a waiver that's being asked for over the no call. I have found over the last 2.5 years that it's people that count, not names on pieces of paper. So as many people as can show up at that committee meeting, at the county commission meeting, be in the mornings trying to get a day off or do something, that it would really help if there were people there that bring that issue forth and not let us sweat out numbers. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else want to make a comment?
I'm Patty Heaver, and I live on Moonstone. It was my intention yesterday that there was a petition being signed and people can bring up petitions regarding approving the greenhouse over on Milpon. But the woman asking for the signatures was giving out misinformation specifically about me. And so if people signed that, I don't feel it was signed under, I feel it was signed under false pretenses. So if that's going to be presented to the commission, who would I contact to try to refute that?
But I will tell you, which Karen just brought up, petitions are a piece of paper. I know we all love the idea of petitions and we love all those signatures, but nothing speaks louder than a person showing up in a meeting in person, mm-hmm. sharing their feelings. Yes. So I would not want misinformation shared about me, which happens all the time. But I agree, but I wouldn't be too scared of it, but I'm the person who would come to.
one specific issue. Is there going to be any here about, you know, where everybody can hear the two sides of this?
This is just for public comment, and right. That will be on an agenda.
That's what I'm asking. So,
that agenda was several months ago.
Yeah, it was in April.
So now it's out of our you're all mm-hmm. taking right. an agenda. Yeah. That's right.
Anybody else?
Mm-hmm. Beginning hopefully the third Saturday in July, during the same hours as the pancake breakfast each month, I want to start up again the clothing and furniture giveaway at the park with the Salvation Army truck coming at the end. I was doing that the last Saturday of every month. So also, I am working with some veteran organizations that will bring out a medical van, hopefully that same day, or similar to the mammogram van, but it's for hearing, heart health, and different things like that. And other programs I've tried to bring out here also, bits and pieces on the same third Saturday. So watch for the flyers and the information and happenings.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
I got something not cool.
Okay.
Well,
I gotta give everybody a shot.
Pancake breakfast Saturday morning, 8 to 10:30, and Monday from 8 to 10:30 is coffee and donuts at the senior center. And there's also the farmers market on Saturday. There's vegetables and fruit and stuff like that.
On Saturday.
On Saturday at the senior center.
Okay, everyone else is done?
One quick thing. Okay. Who's in charge of the 4th of July parade?
Sandy Mesky.
We have a 1944 World War II Army Jeep that was restored entirely by Sandy Valley residents. We'd like to put it in the parade.
Nice.
All you've got to do is go down to the post office and get one of the little things and get a registration and give it to Jennifer Woodchurch or to Bill Newsom. Or leave it there at the post office.
Send me a note at time. I'm sorry.
Okay, you want to make a it's informal, go ahead.
I don't know how to talk intern. Shanna, does anybody know what time the parade's going to be?
It's going to start at 10 o'clock and it's going to start in Miami.
Okay.
Where?
Miami.
Anyone else like to make a comment before we close? Okay, I'm going to close the comment section. Our next meeting is July 9th. This meeting adjourned. Everybody.
I make a motion we adjourn the meeting.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It's okay. Just let me know.
I want to follow the